Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me. So this week we are going to, ladies, to face it. We're going to teach you how to own it and to heal it. And my guest today is Teresa Tomeo, and I'm so excited to get into this new EWTN online free learning series with all of you. And I wanted to start off by saying, have you ever felt broken? Have you ever felt like you're just not enough? You don't measure up. You don't feel smart. You don't feel good enough. You don't feel lovable enough. And I have come from such a dark past, and things that were done to me, things that I allowed happen, things that I participated in. And the life that I created for myself was so dark and full of sin. And I didn't know who I was. But today I am telling you, do not let fear, ladies, prevent you from moving forward in your lives. And some women avoid, we deflect. I know what that's like. I've done that myself, but we were created, ladies, for so much more. And do not get stuck in survival mode. But this is truly my invitation to you to just step out of it, just to get out of it, just to stop the routine, to stop the rut, and to change your life. And truly, I believe that God allowed this book to be such a blessing in so many women's lives. And even through me writing this book, it was my own healing process. I healed a lot even just writing this book. But I believe all these other women that God brought to the table of this Women Made New project is helping so many women, because they're all overcomers and amazing. And I truly believe that he is calling you to go deeper, to become stronger, to become whole, and just to face those things that may be holding you back, because he wants you to keep moving forward and to heal and to become the strong woman of God. So without further ado, we are going to get right into it with Teresa Tomeo. But before then, we are going to talk with Cameron Fratt about her role in this series. So stay tuned.
Hi, y'all. I'm Cameron Fratt, and I am here in Alabama recording at EWTN. We are recording a 8-part series, Women Made New. It's amazing. I would love for you to join us and be a part of it. I have other amazing, wonderful, beautiful people that are participating in it, such as Crystalina Evert. Teresa Tomeo and others have put together this amazing free 8-part series for you. So please join us. Check out EWTN.com/womenmadenew.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me today. I have a recurring guest, and I just love her, not to mention being a role model in my life, is Teresa Tomeo.
Hey, girlfriend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being here again, Teresa. It's always such an honor to have you.
Are you kidding me? It's always a blast, and it goes by super fast whenever we talk, because we both talk really fast.
Yes. Yes, we do. That is the truth. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on is because, and I also had Catherine Hadger on because she is a contributor, is the new learning series from EWTN for Women Made Anew. And it's not just any learning series. It's also a free learning series for women. So tell us about what role you played in all of this.
Well, it's pretty crazy, because first of all, I was so honored to be part of this book, Women Made New, and really poured my heart out into the chapter. And then when you asked me to take part in this beautiful online learning series, and then when our friends at EWTN called us, I mean, I've been working with EWTN for over 20 years now through the Catholic View for Women, my radio show, and much more. And this, I have to tell you, they always do beautiful work, but this was just one cut above in terms of the way they're actually filming and editing these beautiful online series. They truly are a thing of beauty. And in all my years, Crystalina, 42 years in the media, I've never done anything literally with smoke and mirrors, but we did this time. I'm like, wow, that old smoke and mirrors saying has really come true, because giving the sense of being in thought and reflection, it came across very beautifully in the video when they had me sitting in front of a crucifix, which is actually what happened when I found my way, really back to the church. It started with that moment at the cross. So the way this is shot in terms of the scenery, it's a thing of beauty to watch. But I think the stories from all the women in this, we all came through suffering, which is what your book is about. We're overcomers. And I think it's going to help women really grow and understand that the verse, Romans 28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, really is applicable to our lives, regardless what situation we're in.
You know, I will agree with that, that these videos are quite exceptional. And honestly, when I went into this project and I showed up on set, I didn't expect all of that and that many cameras and people and the director, mm-hmm. just everything. It was really exceptional, you know, and I've been on other sets before, but this was a step above all of it. Let's just put it that
really
way.
Was.
So God really blessed this and his hand was really in it. But I really love the fact that all of the women that were part of the Women Made New book were so vulnerable and were so honest and really poured their heart, like you said, out into these chapters. But let's dive into your chapter for the women that are not familiar with the Women Made New book and series and everything we're talking about. So your chapter was about what?
Surrender. Yeah. The title was Surrender is Not a Four-Letter Word, if I remember correctly. And really, that's where everything begins. Surrender at the foot of the cross. And you have to start there. And the point of my chapter is that it's not just a one-time thing where, okay, we're making our way back to the church and, you know, things are getting better in my life because Jesus is back in my life, or now I'm a Christian worshiping in the Catholic Church, and that's great. But that surrender has to be something we do every single day, because if we don't do that, then we lose track. We lose our compass, right? We lose our direction, and we're no longer looking true north, and we're pulled in all these different directions. So in addition to mentioning what really brought me to my knees and had me coming back to the church, I stressed during that chapter that surrender, again, is something we do every day. Every day we get up, and as my mother used to say, offer it up to God and put it at the foot of the cross.
offer
it up to God, which is something we have to do regularly. And that's the point of the chapter, because so many of us think, well, okay, I've gone through this rough spot in my life and now I'm good. You know, I've checked the suffering box. I'm good. It's going to be smooth sailing from now. Well, maybe, we don't know, but we live in a fallen world and all of us are going to have issues that we have to deal. And so this is, I think, a chapter that helps women kind of process, okay, what can I learn from this? What's going on? What is God trying to tell me? And then moving forward and applying those struggles and what you learn from those struggles to your everyday life.
You know, a lot of people think it's a one and done, this one off, and they give their life over to Jesus Christ and they start over. And then they're wondering, like, where the magic is happening. Like, why isn't my life transformed and completely changed? But it really doesn't work that way. It really works with this small grace at a time and a yes at a time in our own lives to really start seeing God working, right?
Yeah, it does. It's all those little things and making those little commitments, even those little sacrifices for your spouse or for your kids. That is where the rubber truly meets the road in the everyday. St. Teresa of Avila, my patron, whom I just adore, I just think she's amazing, has this saying, and I actually have an apron that says this in Spanish, God is in the pots and the pans. I love that, because what she's saying is God is in the everyday. We just don't bring him into it. He is with us in the kitchen. He's with us when we're driving to work. He's with us when we're doing mundane chores. Everything can be offered for the glory of God. And not enough of us do that. We look for those huge shining moments where the clouds part or you have a mountaintop experience. And that's great. And we do have mountaintop experiences, but at some point you have to come down to the valley and live your life. And so this is what surrender really is. It is a walk through the ups and the downs in the everyday.
Now, in your chapter, you talked about how you really were having a rough patch in your marriage. And I think a lot of women can relate to that. And they are struggling in their marriage. They are struggling with problems in their home. And they don't know where to go, who to turn to. And some of them are just ashamed and don't even want to bring it to the light or don't want to get counseling or tell their friends or family members because they're ashamed, because they feel like they're a failure. How and what can those women do?
Well, first of all, you have to recognize it and to be not afraid and to be not ashamed. Years ago, when Deacon Dom and I were asked to give our testimony for a World Marriage Day dinner that's held every year here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, there were 500 plus people. And I had just left the secular media and was starting to enter into speaking and Christian media, Catholic media. And we were asked to give our reversion story and tell some of the, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And a friend of mine, who's an anchor woman, still working at the station where I also work, called me up and she said, "You can't share that. You're a public person. You'll never get another job, blah, blah, blah." And I panicked. And I called up the deacon who was part of this event, wonderful man who passed away a few years ago, became really good friends of ours. And I'll never forget what he said to me, Deacon Don, because I was ready to cancel. It was like 2 hours before the talk, and I was ready to literally cancel because I just froze with fear. Mm. And he said, "Hun, trust me, everybody's got something." So that kind of gave me courage. And we went and we kept our commitment and did the talk. And you could have heard a pin drop. I can remember, Christina, being in this large banquet hall, and we were giving our story and telling some pretty vulnerable moments. And it was so quiet that when somebody poured a glass of water, it echoed through the entire banquet hall. People were sitting on the edge of their seats. And we had men and women, not just men, coming up to us and crying, saying, "Thank you for sharing your journey and the ups and downs." Because, you know, for a media personality at that time, I'd been on the air in Detroit for about 20 years at two of the biggest TV stations, so I was pretty recognizable. And they said, "For you guys to do that as public people, that means a lot." And then so many people came up and said they had similar struggles. Look, everybody's got something. I mean, the reason that counseling exists is because people have issues. The reason Retrovi exists is because people have issues. You need to go to God, first of all, and ask God to help you decide, okay, what do we do next? How do we get through this rough patch? And there's so many great tools. And I talk about this in all my books. Dominic and I wrote a book called Intimate Graces, which is about the marriage and the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, that we don't have to be alone in this. We can go to a Retrovi. We can go to a marriage encounter. We can go to a good Catholic counselor to help us through the rough spots. So many people think it's a sign of weakness, when actually it's a sign of strength and humility when you reach out. Even some people don't want to go on, let's say, a marriage retreat or a Catholic date night because they think, oh, people are going to look at us and think that we have problems. What do you care what people think? You have to care about what God thinks and what your spouse thinks. Right?
That's my favorite. Yes, that's all that matters at the end of the day, right? That's right. I want to go back to the moment, okay? I want to get real. You were on the stage telling your story and you could hear the water pouring because it is so quiet in that hall. Were you just like a deer in headlights of just like all those thoughts, I'm sure, were like flooding through your head as your husband's talking or even as you're talking? Because I've experienced that before on stage. Of just this fear of like, oh my gosh, what is everyone's reaction going to be? Just this moment of freak out, but within yourself of just like, what is, oh my goodness, this is happening. I just did this.
I think it was actually before. And then once I talked to Deacon Bob Ovies, he called me down on the phone because he knew our story inside and out. And he said, "You think the only one who's had problems?" You know, again, he said, everybody's got something. So once I made the commitment to get in the car and go, and I got there, I was okay. I think Dominic was a little bit deer in the headlights because it was kind of jarring. It's so, I think I was just into the moment, or I was just pouring my soul out. And it was, then it kind of shocked me back into reality, looking up and seeing 500 people. But at the same time, I was at peace at that point. I really was, in the sense of, this is what I was called to do. I really need to do this to help other people. And then after that, so many things happened to us in terms of being drawn more into marriage ministry, me getting my own show on Catholic radio, which is going on now 21 years, if you can believe it. Dom discerning the diaconate. He's been a deacon for 11 years. And so my message in my chapter in your beautiful book, and my message every time I give my testimony, is God can really take your mess and turn it into something incredibly beautiful. And do not think that you are ever out of God's reach. As long as you have a willing heart, he's not going to force himself on you. We both were willing to work on our marriage and work on ourselves in terms of our spiritual growth. Now, you can't do that with someone who says, "I know everything, I'm fine, everybody else's problem." You have to be willing to humble yourself. To be honest, we're having, it's very interesting, we should be doing this taping this week, Crystalina, because we're dealing with someone in our family whom we love dearly, but who's going through probably a divorce. And he's saying that it's all her fault. I'm perfect. I've done everything right. She's the one who needs therapy. She's willing to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. She wants to save the marriage. He says, "No, nobody understands me. It's all about me. I'm done." Now, you can't work with someone. You have to pray for them. But unless you're willing, right?
Yeah.
God's not going to force his way in. You know, that beautiful verse in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock. If you open it, I will come in and dine with you. That beautiful image of Jesus standing at the door knocking from Revelation, and there's no doorknob on the outside because you have to open it and let him into your heart. He's not going to force his way in. So unfortunately, this family member, we're praying for him to have some sort of a come to Jesus moment where he understands that each of them are responsible for the situation, the condition their marriage is in right now. And that was the same with me and Dom. And that's the same with everybody. It takes two to tango. That old cliche is very true. But God's not going to force his way into your life. He's a gentleman. He's there. He has gives us the resources. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the teachings, the saints. He gives us great minds who work in counseling and therapy. You know, the Dr. Greg Popchecks, the Dr. Ray Grendy's, and so many others. But he's not going to force himself on you. So unless you are willing, as husband and wife, and talking specifically in marriage, but the same as in our own relationship with Christ, unless you are willing to enter in and to accept Jesus, he's not going to force his way into your life. He's a gentleman. He wants you to say that yes.
Doesn't it seem like right now in our day and age, the temptations are so much more for your spouse or you as a spouse? I mean, it is vicious and it is incessant. And if you aren't strong in your Catholic faith or rooted in your love for Jesus and your love for your marriage, or you're just not right ordered, you slowly are just like getting chipped away at. I'm seeing in people and they don't even realize, Teresa, it's happening to them. And it's like people on the outside can see, but they're so blind and wrapped up in this life, in this fairyland in their head of how they're living and how they, their expectations and what they think it should be. And they put a lot of expectations on their significant other that are unrealistic as well. And the reality is just kind of escaped them a little bit, you know, because they believed the lie. How can you help someone like that?
Well, I think you have to get to a point, and this is what happened to me and Deacon Dom. Of course, when we had these issues, he wasn't in the diaconate program yet, but you have to hit rock bottom. Yeah, you know, how many interviews have I done? I'm sure you've done too on your program. People have addictions or people are in really rough situations. And until you hit rock bottom and realize that you have to stand up and look in the mirror and look at your soul and do self-reflection, that's when it starts to change. So if people aren't listening to, for example, this family member that we're trying to reach, I said to Dom, I said, we just got to pray for him. We really have to pray that somebody comes along because he's not listening to us. You know, we're just, that's just his older brother. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, it's a family member, which happens a lot. And I said, I couldn't even sleep the last couple of days because I'm so concerned about them. I just said, we just have to pray. We have to pray that he softens his heart because his wife really wants to work on the marriage and he doesn't. And he's just done. You know, he says he's done. It's all about him, as I said earlier. But you just have to pray that people get to the point. And this is what happened to me. As I said, you know, as I say in the chapter and as I said in the videos for the online learning series, I said, you know, uncle, you know, SOS, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But I dropped on my knees and I said, here I am, Lord. I don't know what you want from me. I don't know what to do. But that's the place where you have to start. It has to start with that submission. That's why the chapter is surrender is not a four-letter word. That is the best thing you can do for yourself, for your children, for your spouse, is surrender to God. Throw yourself at the foot of the cross. And it starts there.
See, that takes so much humility. And that is what seems like is lacking in our culture, too.
Yes.
This pride is everywhere, seeping in everything. And I was telling Justin Fatiga when I had him on my show that I really think there is a new addiction. And it's the addiction of just distraction. Everybody is addicted to being distracted. And if even they have a moment where they're just walking, they can't even handle that. They have to have their phone in their face while they're walking. Right. It's like, my gosh, or while they're driving, or just they can't not be distracted or have that thing in their face to scroll and look and see what's happening next and who's hearting and liking and this and that. And it's shocking, but I'm seeing it in such little ones too now, is this addiction of distraction. But it's really distracting from what is most important. And also, what is it that you are called to be, to do? What did God create you for? And I don't think a lot of people even get it the second thought.
No, because they're just going from one thing to the next. And the interesting thing about media, as you know, that's my area of specialty because where I spent my entire life in it, being affected by it, and then writing about the effects of it. And I'm doing a presentation that Dominic and I are giving in our parish, a date night. We have this new talk we've been doing for a couple of years based on a beautiful song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called Remember to Remember. It's about reflection, how important it is to remember what God has done in your life, the good, the bad, you know, the ups and the downs. It's a beautiful song and a beautiful video. It came out about 5 years ago, but it's so apropos for today, is people no longer take the time, Kristalina, to reflect or remember. They don't want to stop and reflect. And that's why a lot of people, I believe, don't go to confession and get the sacrament of reconciliation, because what do? You don't just walk in and say, hey, Padre, how are you? You know, what about the Tigers? What about the, you know, the Dodgers? You have to do self-reflection, self-examination of conscience before you go in to see the priest, because it's in persona Christi. And so you have to have that moment alone with God and prep for that confession. And I think a lot of people don't want to self-reflect because then they realize they may have to change. And with the media, what's fascinating is before COVID in 2019, I just looked this up the other day, the amount of hours that adults spent with media was 11 hours a day, Well, listen to this, though. That's before COVID. Now it's up to 12 and a half hours a day that adults spend with media, all forms of media, streaming, TV, their phones, their computers. Now, if they're working, some of that, of course, can be taken up at work. But if you think about the fact that it's 12 and a half hours, even after you leave work, what are you doing? That's another 4.5 hours you're spending with the media. Wow. Think about that. Let's give people a break. Let's say they're working or they work from home and they work in their computers. Okay. But after that, shut down the computer, put down the phone. But no, there's another 4.5 hours that's coming up somewhere where people are spending time. And there's this thing that's relatively new in the United States, even though this phrase came out back in 2012, it was developed by an advertising agency. Well, these experts, not just the ad agency, but experts are getting together, looking at some of the research that was coming out in terms of problems with married couples and media. This was in 2012. And they came up with the term fubbing. Have you ever heard about it?
No.
Fubbing, which is being snubbed by your partner or your friend, your spouse, by the phone. So they took the word snubbed and put it with phone. So it's actually called fubbing. And it was so bad in Australia that they actually issued a media PSA campaign, a public service announcement campaign, talking about don't fub your friend or your spouse, because causing that much trouble in relationships. And how many times do we, when we travel, and I travel a lot, as I know you and Jason do as well, I love to watch people. I'm a reporter. I'm always looking around and seeing what's going on. And people don't even talk to each other anymore until, let's say, they have to get called and they go on the plane. How many people do I see trip, bump into walls because they're on their phones? The minute the plane lands, what do? They're on their phones, or they're on their phones during the flight using the free Wi-Fi. It's to the point now, though, where it's causing real relationship problems. And now it's coming up in the United States. And there was a big article in the New York Post a couple weeks ago about how big of a problem it is now with relationships. And we're actually incorporating that into our presentation that we're giving for couples.
You know, it's interesting that I noticed there was a party for teens and they were texting each other at the party.
Yep.
Like they were not even talking. They're texting. Yep. And I'm just like, what is happening here? This is so far-fetched. It's just like, is this real? So it's,
well,
it's,
if you look at what the Surgeon General said, the Surgeon General, I think it was back in May, there's been several very interesting advisories that he's put out. There's the advisory on the epidemic of loneliness, which is also tied to isolation and increased media usage. And then he put out a report in May talking about teens and social media and how it's leading to an increase in isolation, depression, suicide attempts, suicidal thoughts, because they're not connecting with real people, but also they're comparing themselves to things online that aren't even real. A lot of people are making statements about themselves, putting up images that are doctored or not real. And so this is adding to the crisis that we're seeing with young teens in terms of depression and loneliness. So this is a real issue. And it's very, very difficult to break people out of the habit. You have to make a concerted effort to put down that phone, to stay away from the computer or the television and be with each other. You know, we were talking about before we went on the air that Deacon Dom and I feel so strongly about this idea. We talk about it all the time in all of our presentations of la dolce far niente, which means in Italian, the sweetness of doing nothing. In Italy, they consider that time with each other at the table or having an aperitivo in the afternoon, having their Aperol spritz or a Prosecco or maybe just an espresso, that time for them is very sacred. They sit, they talk, or they do the passeggiata, which is the early afternoon, late evening stroll where they get together, they walk around, they talk to each other, they're not on the phones. And when you sit down at a meal at an Italian restaurant, I remember the first time we went to Italy, we're both 100% Italian, but we're very Americanized, right? We were so annoyed, Kristalina, because we were waiting for our check. You know, we're tapping our fingers on the table. What is going on? Why are we blah, 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 blah? Why are we doing it? Wine, want some cheese with that wine? And we had to ask for the check. And then I told our tour guide later, and she said, well, that's what we do in Italy. That table is yours. And the idea is, guess what? Not to rush through that meal, to taste the food, to enjoy the surroundings, to talk to your spouse or your friends. We don't do that because we are so self-consumed. And a lot of that has to do with the media. And I know this, as I said in the chapter, because I lived in the media world. I'm still in the media world because I do a talk show every day and speak and, you know, do things at EWTN as well. But there has to be a balance. And unfortunately, we're getting so many messages and we're forming ourselves through the culture versus the church. And that's where a lot of the problems are coming from.
Well, what if people use their phones, if they're addicted and they have to have it, they always want that distraction, at least turn it to where it's for something good, where they're listening to things like this, or the learning series, or they're listening to the Bible, or they're listening to talks that really help them spiritually.
Or the Catechism in a Year, right?
We're talking
about Michael Schmitz, exactly. Or the Bible in a Year of Father Michael Schmitz. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's a balance, though. It's a balance. And this is the thing. And this is what I love about being Catholic, because the church never tells us to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, the Pope is on Twitter. The Pope has a, you know, the Vatican has a great news feed. They're there right in the media. And we get to hear his audience message, his Angelus message every week because he's on Twitter. He's got millions of followers. So the church tells us, there's a whole section in the Catechism on use of media and social communications. We have so many great communications messages that come out every year from the popes, the World Communications Day messages. We have Inter Mirifica from Vatican II. So if we want to learn how to use the media properly in our lives as Christians, again, go to the church. The church tells us to make sure we are evangelizing. And Pope Paul VI actually said at Vatican II, if the church does not use the media well and wisely, she will have to answer to God, because it's a great evangelization tool. As you said, we're having this program now, the beautiful online learning series. But even then, you can't be consumed by it. You still need to back away at some time and be media free and just go sit in the backyard or take a walk and leave the phone behind. Super important for our peace of mind and our relationships.
Absolutely. We are going to get more into this with Teresa Tomeo when we get back from our break with our friends over at EWTN. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me or just tuning in. I have the beautiful Teresa Tomeo, and we are talking about this new EWTN online learning series for Women Made New and the book that Teresa is a contributor in as well. And it is free, everyone. So anyone anywhere in the world can download this, can watch the videos, and even it has a beautiful study guide that goes along with it that is absolutely free. And that was Mother Angelica's, one of her biggest things is that she wanted free, good Catholic solid content to give to people, to help evangelize them, to help them heal, and just to be close to Jesus. And I feel like this is a tool that EWTN has come out with, and it really does serve that purpose. And Mother Angelica is a part of it as well, isn't she, Teresa?
Mm-hmm. Oh, she is. And maybe I'm a little bit biased because she's 100% Italian and she's from the same area where my father's family was from.
Wow.
Calabria, they're known as Testadura hardheads, very stubborn people. But boy, she was just an amazing witness. And imagine what she went through. We know that she had so much suffering, but look at what she built. Every time, and I'm sure you feel this way, when I go to the EWTN studios and I walk, get up early and I do my show and I walk all the way through and go back to the radio studio, you walk through master control, you walk past the front desk before you go into the editing booth, go down another hall, another master control room in the intern, and you're at the radio studio. But when I'm walking through master control, which people don't know what that means, that is where everything happens, where the directors are, they run everything to make sure everything's running smoothly around the world. But you can see all the monitors. You can see that they're on in, I don't know, Africa, Poland, France, Germany, Italian. And you see this and you think it was all started by this one woman who had the guts to say yes to God and to surrender. And look what happened. Look what God did with her yes.
You know, it takes guts. It does take guts to follow Jesus. It is not easy. I don't know why people think it's going to be this like cakewalk. And it is not. It is hard. At times you're overwhelmed. You're not sure. And you really just have to rely on Jesus for everything sometimes, you know, and even that courage. And even when you don't have the courage, you still keep walking in faith. And Mother Angelica did that so well. I really look up to her for that. She just did it. Not that she wasn't unafraid, but she had this courage and she was so solid in her love and her belief and her faith in Jesus. And she was going to do anything that he asked her to do.
One of my favorite quotes, I think I talked about this in my chapter, is she said, faith is 1 foot in the air, one foot on the ground, and a queasy feeling in the stomach.
Yeah. it's
not easy. And she didn't wake up one day and all of a sudden EWTN was on the air, you know, around the world. What didn't automatically become the largest religious media organization, which it is now. That took years. And she started with her pamphlet. She started with appearing on Protestant shows and other little local TV shows in Ohio. And then she moved down south and she started with the network, but that grew very slowly. It didn't happen overnight. And she had a lot of struggles and a lot of ups and downs. And I kind of get a kick out of people who come up to me and they say, well, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to have a radio show and I want to write books. I'm like, okay, well, is this what God wants you to do? Is this what God is telling you in prayer? And is he leading you in that direction? That's fine. But you have to work at it. I mean, I always tell this story. People say, well, how do you get to do all these national events? And they think like I left the secular media and all of a sudden I had a national Catholic talk show and started speaking and writing books. It took years, even after I was on the air, Kristalina, for 20 years in a major market. 20 years, as my mother Rosie would say. I had to start from scratch when I decided I'm walking away from the secular media and I don't know what God wants me to do, but I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, as Mother Angelica instructed us to do. And gradually things started to come my way, but it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like overnight I was on EWTN. It wasn't like overnight I was, you know, a keynote at, you know, Bishop Barron's Good News Conference, as I was, you know, last year. That took years and years, even after being in the media for 20 years and honing my reporting and my anchoring skills. There was a whole nother skill set that God was going to train me in that I had to do. And now I've been on the air, Catholic Radio. My show has been on the air in this November. It'll be 21 years. And we've been doing the Catholic View for Women, I think, for almost 12 years now. But it takes time. And this is the journey. I mean, if you look at St. Paul, you look at any of the saints, how hard they work, just like Mother Angelica, to do what God is calling us to do. And you have to have patience. Everybody wants things immediately. Mm-hmm. And they want everything their way. I've noticed, I was just talking to my general manager the other day, and a very disappointing email from a listener who said I said this, that, or the other thing, which I know I didn't, because I know the story about what she was speaking and everything we say is recorded. And it was really sad because I thought, wow, why would that person jump to conclusions so quickly? She says she's a longtime listener and she accused me of saying these things that I never said. When everybody knows, you can go back and listen. You know, take a breath, listen to what the person said and say, okay, how am I receiving this? And maybe I should just ask a question. Did you say this? Did I misunderstand? As opposed to getting all upset and, you know, getting our underwear into a knot, a big fat knot, and then striking out at people. People are, you mentioning pride earlier before the break. People are so sensitive and they don't want a dialogue anymore. They just want to vent and get their points across. And it's all about them and how they feel. Mm. You can't do that. You have to understand each other. You have to take a breath. You have to listen. And if you can't do that with each other, getting back to our original point of this whole program, you're not going to be able to do that with God, because you're going to consistently be doing the same thing. No, this is what I want. This is what I heard. This is what I heard you telling me, and I'm going to do what I want to do. It doesn't work that way.
It really takes a lot of self-reflection.
Yes.
In a person that people don't want to do. And again, it goes back to always that distraction, always being on their phones, always just like not even thinking or looking back in a logical way of, okay, did she really say this? You know, they get so worked up, then they end up posting things or saying things or putting pictures out there that they didn't mean to, and they can never take it back.
Right. We say in broadcasting, okay, it's off the tower. Off the tower, it's done.
It's over. It's gone. You can't fish that back.
Well, speaking of that, one of my listeners wrote me the other day and gave me this, because I was talking about this whole thing with the media and everything on the air. And he gave me this acronym. Listen to this, Kristalina. This is so cool. The word think. So before you email, before you post, before you tweet, even before maybe you react in a conversation, is what you're going to say true? That's the T. Helpful. That's the H. Inspirational, the I, necessary, the N, and kind, for K. Is it true, helpful, inspirational, necessary, and kind? Think. And not enough people think, reflect, take a breath before they do anything today, whether it's engage in a conversation, write something on in an email, put something up on Facebook, or even just respond to someone. It's we've lost that art of dialogue, of listening, and of self-reflection.
Right. And one thing, Teresa, I want to ask you, do you, when you were going through just doing God's will and even the things that you didn't want, that you knew you had to surrender, right? And that's what your chapter was about. In that, didn't you find that every time you really, truly said yes to Jesus with what he was asking you in your heart, there was a growth, there was some healing, there was like more faith that you had in your relationship with Jesus as time went on? I find that with myself, but yes. I wanted to ask, is that what you experienced as well?
It was huge. And I mentioned this in the chapter and in many of my other books where I give my testimony. When I was trying to hang on to what I thought I was supposed to do, see, once I came back to the church, I thought, okay, now I'm a born again Catholic. I'm back in the media. I'm back on the air. You know, my story is, and I tell this in the learning series and in your book, I talk about the fact that I was fired from a very prominent position of TV news. And I was forced for 6 months to really reflect and really kind of look at myself. But once I got back on the air and I was a strong Catholic at that point, at least I thought I was, God was also then, even though I got a brand new job at the big ABC affiliate, God was working on me in a different way. And he was showing me very quickly that, okay, I'm going to give you this for a few more years. And I could feel it deep down in my heart because I kept feeling like I was banging my head against a brick wall. Once I had that reversion and got back on the air, when I was growing in my faith, I started to notice all these things about the media that were probably there, but I didn't see them because I didn't want to see them. Mm. And God was revealing to me. It was like St. Paul's experience on that road to Damascus and eventually the scales falling off of his eyes. Just the rotten core of the media and what was happening. Not that all the people are bad, but that the industry was really going it was just really, really changing and not in a good way. But I cling to that because I said to myself, oh God, you can't possibly want me to leave the media. You put me back on the air. It made no sense to me. So I hung on to the secular media for at least 3 to 5 years, thinking that I could do this, God, just give me a chance. And yet I was miserable. Even though I was on the air and making money, I wasn't happy, but I was saying, no, I can't do anything else. And then finally, you know, I got it through my thick Calabrese head. I said, okay, I just got to let go and let God. Because the stress of hanging on and trying to do what I wanted to do was just, it was eating me up. Even after I was back in the church and our marriage had been healed professionally, I was still trying to figure how this all worked with my spirituality. And so one day I just said, okay, all right, God, I'm done. Uncle, I get it. That was the next big surrender for me, right? We talk about keep surrendering.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know what? You gave me 20 years in a major market on the air. Every single goal I had when I graduated from college, I hit it. Okay. I'm a little bit of a type A personality, very, very determined in what I do. And I said, most importantly, God, you saved my soul and you saved my marriage. Whatever you want me to do is fine. If you want me to stay home, that's fine. If I'm going to get back out there and do something else. And when I let that go, when I walked into my station manager's office, and my last job was as a news director at a big radio station in Detroit 23 years ago. And I just said, you know what? My contract's coming up. I'm not interested in getting it renewed. Can you buy me out early? And I just want to go my own way. And he said, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. He was very gracious. And I just took that money and put it in the bank. And I said to my husband, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll tell you what, Kristalina, I was so peaceful. I didn't have a job. I had no money coming in. My husband was still working, but you know, it's difficult when you're bringing in money, you're helping the household, right?
Yeah.
So our savings took a big hit and whatnot, but that was such a learning experience for me because I was so happy. And I quit. I walked away and I was so happy. I had no idea what was going to happen. But I didn't care. It just like I felt this weight was lifted off my shoulder because I said, all right, here I am. And it wasn't like this very gracious, like I was some sort of a saint or something. It was just like, all right, basta. I'm done with the secular media. You know, it was a good run. Let's go, Lord. What do you want me to do? And then gradually he brought me into Catholic media. Started slowly with the speaking. I wrote my first book. That took a while. But again, it was that peace that I felt that you were mentioning before when I was hanging on to what I want to do. And I thought that I was going to tell God how things are going to work out because, gee, I had my reversion and I'm back in the church and my husband and I are working in the parish and we're doing all these wonderful things, but God wasn't through with me yet. And when I let that go and I said, okay, God, I can, you know, brush my hands of it, wash my hands of it, I'm done. That's when he realized, okay, now I can work with her further. And right. That's what it takes. But the peace I had at that moment was amazing.
But it's so scary, Teresa. It can be so scary to just let go.
It is, but it isn't. I guess, you know, I remember there was another time. I don't know if I wrote about this in your chapter. I mean, I've had so many of these moments because this tells you how hard-headed I am. But I need these moments because I need to listen more closely. But about 10 years ago, when I was still very busy, but I didn't learn how to pace myself because I was so excited to be doing things for the Lord and for the church that I had too many speaking engagements. And then I did a pilgrimage and came back and did more speaking engagements. And I lost my voice in the process. And my voice, I have to be very careful with it. I use my voice every day for 2 hours. I speak and I've had some problems with my vocal cords. I have a very, very good ear, nose, and throat guy in Detroit who's phenomenal. And I'll never forget when I went to him and I lost my voice after I came back and I did a pilgrimage at Steve Ray. It was 2 weeks. Of course, you're talking every day, teaching and whatnot. And then I get back and I do this women's conference. I do like 3 talks. I get on the plane, I'm talking, I'm losing my voice. I'm not shutting up, right? I had learned my lesson. And I went to see my doctor because my voice wasn't coming back. And he looked at my vocal cords and he said, you cannot speak. He says, you cannot say a word for the next month or 6 weeks. So it was 6 weeks. And I had to have complete silence. And my husband and I were, my husband was thrilled, first of all, because think about that, me not talking for 6 weeks. That's like a gift for him. Just kidding. But it was like, I didn't know if I was going to get back on the air. And I can remember telling EW10, Ave Maria, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what God's got. But at that same time, I was thinking, and I was, you know, texting Dominic because we couldn't speak. And I said, my voice is how I, you know, I minister. What am I going to do? And then it hit me. God showed me again in reflecting when I thought, oh, the only thing I could do is be a reporter in the secular media. Oh, this is the only thing I could do. I have to do this. And then I just had this overwhelming peace that, I don't know, God's going to use me somehow. I'm still here. He's not through with me yet. And I just didn't worry about it. I just let it go. And I kept my mouth shut, believe it or not, for 6 weeks. And my doctor said, I can't believe it, but you're healed. And when I went back, I still had to go through some voice training, but my voice was very strong again. So I've had all these different moments in my life, even with family situations, which I write about in my new book about my mom, where God has taken me to a point and said, okay, this is another surrender moment. You have to let this go. You have to surrender. And the surrender idea, which is why I was so intent on this being the title for my chapter in your beautiful book, Women Made New, that surrender is where everything happens. That surrendering at the cross all the time.
It's true. And it's so hard sometimes to do that, especially in situations with your children or your husband or things that are really close to your heart. But at the same time, God loves them more than you do, you know, and he loves you more than you do. And he is going to take care of you. And the one question I have women asking themselves throughout the book, Women Made New, or throughout the learning series of Women Made New, is what is it that is keeping you from becoming the woman that God
has wants
called
you
to be. Right. Yes.
Right. Yep. There's a beautiful song written by a Christian evangelical songwriter and singer. Her name is Sarah Groves. And I love this song. It's called Painting Pictures of Egypt. And this was, when I heard the lyrics of this song, it just blew me over. They just blew me over because this was my life. When I was in the secular media, when I came back to the church, as I mentioned earlier, I was in it and I got back on the air at a very big station, but I was miserable. And as I was trying to figure out what God wanted me, I'm like, well, I can't leave. I can't give it up. I can't give it up. But I was so miserable. If you think about the Israelites, right? God was trying to take them out of this situation in the desert. And so they get into the desert. They're away from the Egyptians. They're no longer slaves, but they don't have the same type of food that they had when they were right under, you know, the control of the Egyptians who were, you know, putting them through all kinds of heck. And they're saying, oh, they're grumbling. We don't have beets. We don't have this, at least when we were slaves in Egypt. And her song is about, I'm painting pictures of Egypt, leaving out what it lacked because the future looks so hard and I can't go back. So just like the Israelites, we get into a situation where God is moving us and it's uncomfortable. It struggles. It hurts. He's pruning us like that chapter in the Gospel of St. John, right? I am the vine, you are the branches, where Jesus is always talking about this idea of pruning. And we don't want to be pruned. The devil that we know, we think is better than the devil we don't know. Wow. But that's a big mistake. And that's how Satan wins. He gets you stuck thinking, oh, you're fine here. This is comfortable for you. Well, Jesus came to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And we have to remember that. He wants to stretch us. He wants to give us, you know, his life. There is nothing, we just stop and think. And the reason why the crucifix is so important, you know, surrendering at the foot of the cross. For me, it was always a crucifix. Because if you look at that crucifix, you realize, okay, if God loved me that much, how can I think that anything he has for me is going to be worse than what I have for myself? It's going to be better because he's God. He did that for you and would have done that for you had you been the only person on the earth. But we, again, are like the Egyptians or like the Israelites with the Egyptians thinking, oh, it was better being in bondage and slavery because we had more vegetables or we had more meat. We're out in the desert. We have freedom. We're moving toward the promised land, but we're tired. We want to go back to the way things were. Well, I was kind of like that too. When I was first getting into my new, you know, area, I was like, wow, this is really tough. I had to start from scratch again. And I thought, I don't know, maybe I should just go back on here and maybe just be easier. But I never did, because deep down I knew that God had something better for me. But it takes time to realize that. But again, it's hard. But once you do it, it's such a freedom. And then you start to see what God has in store for you. And you do not know how much he wants for you. And he is such a big God, and we can't put him in a box.
And the importance of actually doing God's will in your life, the importance of actually listening to those small, still whispers in your heart, Teresa, yep. Because they hold weight. They hold weight in heaven. They hold weight on earth. And they're a ripple effect in people's lives around you, even, that you don't realize. And right. I remember going through and having the idea of this Woman Made New book and everything and the suffering and everything I was going through at the time. But I just knew in my heart it had to get done. And right. The thing is, if I didn't say yes, I couldn't even imagine what God was going to do with this. And that's just mm-hmm. in my life. Can you imagine the people listening, the call that he has on their lives? But they have right. to get through that mess, that brokenness, that healing that a lot of women listening right now know they need, that they need right. to do, and they want to ignore it, face it, medicate it, or drink it away. And they cannot. It will always be there the next day. So this right. is
and even once you have that healing, it's still a growth process, because yes. if we're still alive, then God is not through with us yet. He wants to bring us to a point, you know, of closer and closer to heaven. But what I will say is that God gives you that beautiful verse that we hear in scripture. God gives you the desires of your heart. For me, my desire from the time I was a child, and I talk about this in the chapter, was to be a broadcaster. I knew what I knew when I was 10.
Wow.
The nuns put a microphone in my hand when I was in the third grade, and it was off to the races for me. God gave me that sense of, you're going to be a communicator. My second choice was as a professional dancer, but I was too short to be a rockette, so I gave that up. But I still love to dance. I dance around the house, and I dance, you know, at parties and things and weddings. But, you know, God put that on my heart. And what am I doing now? I'm still in broadcasting, but in a much different way. And he also put on my heart a love for my heritage, my Italian American heritage, and my Catholic faith, and the beauty of religious art. Mm-hmm. And what does he have me doing? He has me leading pilgrimages with my husband 2 or 3 times a year to the place that I think is the most beautiful place on the earth. And that's Italy. Now, if you would have told me 23 years ago that my husband would be a deacon, or more than that, if you would have told me 30 years ago, because that's when we came back to the church 30, 35 years ago, that my husband would be a deacon, I would be a Catholic talk show host, I'd be leading pilgrimages to Italy, I would tell you, I don't know what you're smoking or drinking, but that sounds great, but I want some of it. There's no way that's going to happen, because it was too big. I couldn't yes. see it. But God will take your yes. And if you are willing to go with him through the fire, you know, just every single day, he is going to bring you to a place where you are going to have complete joy and fulfillment like you've never had before. Not that you're not going to suffer, because you will, because yes. we live in a yes. fallen world. But you will be peaceful, because you know true north. You know where your compass is pointing.
Now, in the Woman Made New online free learning series, there is a study guide that they really did a phenomenal mm-hmm. job. And they yeah. pulled a lot from the Woman Made New book. And they ask, even you, like what I did is I printed it out and I put it in a binder and I take it to adoration right. and to go through it and really reflect on these things. And I love in your chapter, the reflection questions that they came up with. And some of them are, Am I afraid of missing out if I surrender to God's will? Isn't that a question? The next one is, do I believe God has a better life waiting for me if I surrender fully to him? It's hard for women to believe that. The devil doesn't want them to believe that, right?
Right.
The next one is, what is God asking me to surrender? Oh, that's a hard one and a hard one to answer. But if you can answer that honestly, you're going to get somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
another one is, am I willing to ask God what you want of me? And that's the thing. That's the key. Are you willing? Are you willing to face what it is God wants you to face? And that's a big thing.
But it's a big thing because I thought, you know, even after, as I said earlier, we had our reversion. I was back on TV news at the biggest station in the Midwest, WXYZ TV Channel 7, that I was done, you know, that I was going to be converting the newsroom and I'd die there doing a live shot in some murder or some snowstorm somewhere, because I thought that God planted me there and that's where I was going to be. But I had to let go of the media. And I heard God asking me, are you willing to give up the media for me? Are you willing to give it up, the secular media? And I finally said yes. And once I did that, I felt so peaceful. It was not easy because I didn't know how to do anything else. I'd been on the air since I was 14 years old. My first job in radio was in high school. We had a little radio station that broadcast for about two blocks, but I still was able to go on and do a little show on my Catholic high school radio station.
Wow.
And God asked me, can you give that up for me? And I said, yes, because you did so much for me and saved my soul and my marriage. It wasn't a yes that was done quickly, mm-hmm. but eventually I said, yep, I'm done. See, I'll do this for you.
You're a walking testimony. It can be done. I'm a walking testimony. It can mm-hmm. be done. And just saying yes to Jesus, whatever he's asking you to do. This woman made a new book. Yeah. It's become an online learning series and a study guide for women all over the world, even women in Australia. I'm getting DMs from women all over, Teresa, that are signing up and doing this. And it's beautiful. And thank you for the role that you played in all of this and your yes. And I can't believe it, but our time is already coming to a close. And where can people find you and all the latest and greatest stuff you're doing? You're always doing something so amazing for God in the church and helping women and men. Tell us what you're doing and how people can find you.
Well, as I said, the big thing that Deacon Dom and I are really so strongly about is bringing people back to the faith and getting them excited about the Lord and the beauty of the church and of his, you know, beautiful earth, and having that time, that reflection time, is through pilgrimage. So we have all kinds of different pilgrimages to Italy. I have a travelilyexpert.com website where I help people. I consult with them on how to get the most out of your journey to Italy and the religious sites. So you can go to teresatomeo.com for all the information, and also travelilyexpert.com. And I also have my new book, Rosie, out. Everything's Coming Up Rosie, about my mom. That's a real good journey for people to see, because I wrote the book and everybody thought, oh, when the book came out, that I had this great, perfect relationship with my mom. No, it was a struggle for us to really kind of, it was like a purgation for us in terms of our growth. And I talk about that in the book. So teresatomeo.com and travelilyexpert.com. And thank you so much, sweet pea, for this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome. I just love you, Teresa. God bless you. And you will
too.
Be in my prayers. And I'm sure I'll have you on again. Bye-bye.
Okay, darling.
Thank my guest again, Teresa Tomeo. And for all of those out there that would like to join and start this EWTN online free learning series, you can actually download it right there in your phone with the EWTN online learning series app. So do that today. And don't forget to go to confession. You will all be in my prayers this week, and I look forward to seeing you next weekend. And I will leave you with a quick clip from Teresa Tomeo. God bless.
Hey friends, it's Teresa Tomeo from EWTN's Catholic Connection radio program. I love working with EWTN, and I'm actually back at the network, and we're taping a new series based on a beautiful book by my friend Kristalina Everett. The title of that book is Women Made New. Kristalina, myself, Joy Pinto, and so many other women from the EWTN network and beyond are sharing their thoughts of how they made it through suffering and were made new through that suffering. So please join us. It's a free online series, and you can find out all about it at EWTN.com/womenmadenew. I'll see you online.